Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The title, we're continuing a little series here as the Lord's laid on my heart, Lost and Found. Last week we talked about the greatest story of lost and found was that when Adam and Eve slipped out of the presence of God and committed that sin, God lost something very valuable to him, and that was us. That was you. He lost that connection with us, and so he came to find us. Amen. He come to find you. I want you to know that God literally searched you out to find you. And here in the Gospel of John, I want to talk to you about regaining joy. How many have ever gone through times in your life where you need more joy? Or you needed the joy restored? And so my goal this morning is to help you regain that joy. And I want the joy of the Lord to just overflow your heart and life. I want you to leave here full of that joy that it is to know Jesus Christ and to be saved and feel his presence. Amen? Here in these verses in the Gospel of John, Jesus has already been crucified. He's been crucified, and the apostles are literally in dismay because they have in their mind this thought, this Jesus is the Messiah, okay? And so he's not supposed to die in their mind. Matter of fact, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross, Peter said, oh, no, you're not. And Jesus said, you know, you just get behind me, Satan. You don't know what's going on here. And Peter, they didn't understand what God was doing at the time. They couldn't grab it. So think about this for a moment. There was a time for 3 days where literally the disciples lost all joy as it related to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read these verses to you with that. Gospel of John chapter 20, we have the verses in the New Living Translation for you to follow along if you don't have that version. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews, Jewish leadership. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Now, think about that for a moment. Go back to that verse, please. They were behind locked doors. The disciples were shut in, and all of a sudden, poof, there he is. I love that part. And I love that the Bible uses the word suddenly, because they were probably conversing back and forth, and then poof, there he is, instantly. No doors, no one walked through door. Jesus just showed up. How many know Jesus can just show up? Amen? Now, I'm not preaching that, but if I was a preacher, I'd make notes of that. Amen? Verse 20, as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. Listen to this. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Oh, isn't that great? Amen. Isn't that great? Hope and dismay was overcome the moment he said, look at my hands, look at my side. I am not dead. I am alive. And joy flooded their heart. I want that same joy to flood your heart this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that we have in your Son. I pray, God, that you'll anoint me to preach your word. Speak through me. Have your way in every heart, every life. Bless each one that's here. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. God, all glory belongs to you, and we would never dare try to even steal it, Lord. We will continue to praise you for what you have done. We will praise you for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Regaining joy. In the process of studying for this message, I began to do some research on other preachers and other things, and I came across a story that one preacher said that really blessed me. He told a story about how he was teaching his church that they needed to memorize hymns and start singing hymns at home and learning to worship, not just in church, but at home. And one such lady had learned the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All I have needed, Thou hast provided. And she would sing this song every morning. She woke up and she would, with all her voice, even though her cupboards were bare, even though she had no money, even though things were kind of falling apart financially, she'd get up in the morning and she'd sing, Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. mercies I see. I can't sing it, but you know what I'm talking about. And all I have needed, thy hands hath provided. She would just sing this. Well, next door to her, there was a man there who was an atheist. And every morning she'd just sing this song, lift her voice, and that atheist would just get mad, and he would yell out the house, quit that singing, stop that right now. And over time, this irritation in the atheist's heart, she got so mad that he finally said, you know what, I know her cupboard's a bear, I'm going to go buy her groceries, I'm going to put it on her front doorstep, I'm going to hide behind her bush, and when she sings that song and she finds them groceries, I'm going to tell her who provided. So that atheist came out there. He put the groceries on the front door. She got up in the morning just like she always did. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And when she saw the groceries, she said, oh, Lord, thank you. You have provided. Thank you. Thank you for the food, Lord. She began to praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the atheist jumped out of the bush and said, the Lord didn't do that. I did that. And she said, Lord, thank you. You even used the devil to bless me. Amen. When I heard that story, I thought that's what it means to have joy in the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter where the blessing comes from. The Lord will bless you. Amen. The Lord will send joy into your life and into your heart. You need to realize that God has a purpose for your life. It's not that you be cast down or downtrodden, but that your heart be full of the joy of the Lord. Amen. The joy, it's easy, church, to lose the joy. Oh, it's easy to lose joy. It's easy. You can get your eyes on everything else. You can get your eyes on man. You can get your eyes on your problems. Get your eyes on your bank account. Get your eyes on your family. Get your eyes on certain circumstances that are around, surround your life. And that can somehow suck away at the joy in our lives. But when the joy of the Lord is there, it becomes a strong tower in our life that we have strength to fight back when we have joy. Have you ever lost that joy and when you come to church, you are just dragging? Now, I'm being real this morning. A real Christian's honest, man. And I know what it's like to come to church and be dragging because the joy was gone. That it became something more. As a pastor, I'm constantly working. I'm constantly studying. I'm constantly getting ready. And so you know what happens to me as a pastor? As a pastor, I get so caught up in the stuff I'm doing, I forget Jesus in which I'm doing it for. Amen? Right, Pastor Jack? Right, Pastor Jack? You know what I'm talking about? Every pastor in here can relate to that. We get so busy, and we can do the same in life. We get so busy in life that we forget the joy of the Lord. The disciples lost that joy. It was gone. Jesus was dead. There was no hope. But then suddenly, there he was. Suddenly, there he was. And Jesus stood before him, and the Bible said that the joy came back. I want you to know that your joy comes back when you suddenly see Jesus. Amen? When you suddenly get your eyes on Jesus, there is that joy again. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm so glad that he doesn't leave me nor forsake me. Amen? Even when I forsake him, he's always there. He's always there. When we get our eyes on Jesus, somehow that joy begins to flood back. I've been in times in my Christian walk where, man, it felt like it was all I could do just to give God an amen. Give God a shout. Give God a hallelujah or thank you, Jesus. And because the circumstances of life were bringing me down, and so I didn't feel like I could say amen, or I didn't feel like saying hallelujah would be really appropriate concerning the circumstances. But I want you to know that you should praise God anyhow. Praise him anyway. Praise him despite what you're feeling, because that joy in itself, listen, this is my first thing. How do you regain joy? Joy is not an emotion, it is an attitude. We seem to think that our joy is surrounded by our happiness. I am happy, therefore I have joy. It wrong. Because how many of you know things in life can really make you unhappy real quick, real fast, and in a hurry? One moment you could be happy, next moment you could be sad. And if you live based off your emotions, unhappiness, your joy will be depleted quickly, won't it? Joy could be zapped from you if you're focused on circumstances. And many people, many Christians, especially Pentecostal Christians, hello, live based on their emotion, what they feel and what their surroundings are. I'm happy, I'm blessed today because everything's going right. But what happens when you're down in the valley? And how many know every one of us goes down in the valley? It's easy to praise God on a mountaintop. It's harder to praise God in a valley. But when you can learn that the joy of the Lord is your strength, Psalms 35, go to that second one. Psalms 35 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Amen. When we learn that that is the truth, then we're not focused on happiness. We're focused on the joy that God adds to my life. Look at this verse, James 1:2. Since he didn't find the one I told you, I'll give you this one. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. What? Wait a minute. What am I counting all joy, James? When you fall. What? When you fall into divers temptations. When I was a young Christian and very ignorant, I thought divers meant that there were divers somewhere in the temptations. But it just means different kind of temptations. Divers temptations. When you fall into divers temptations, count it joy. How do you get joy in a valley? It is definitely not based on circumstance. It is definitely not based on your surroundings and how happy you think you are. Because I can tell you can shout glory and you can have peace and you can have joy when you understand that joy is not in something else in this world, but it is simply found in Jesus Christ. Amen? When you find Jesus, you find joy. When you find Jesus, you find peace. When you find Jesus, you find hope. You find a reason to live. You find a reason to die. And I'm telling you, some of the things we can lose in Christianity is our joy because we get focused on what makes us happy and not on Jesus Christ. Now go to that next verse. There it is. Nehemiah, there it is. I told you the wrong passage. That's the problem. Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I want you to think about that. That means I need strength to get through some stuff. I need strength, and joy becomes my strength. Don't get mad at me when I rejoice and I shouldn't, you think I shouldn't be. Don't get upset at me when everything's falling apart and I say, thank you, Jesus. Don't be alarmed at my charismatic reaction when I get to dancing and maybe I shouldn't be. Don't get upset at me when you see me run, shout, and dance, because what you don't understand is I've been going through some stuff and the joy of the Lord is what I'm counting on to bring me through. It becomes my strength. My source of hope is in Jesus. And so I turn a page and I tell the devil, you're not going to get me to complain. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm not complaining. No. You're not going to get me to whine and complain. No, I'm going to focus on Jesus because he's my strength. How do you regain your joy? Realize it's not an emotion. Realize that joy is an attitude. It's not based on circumstances or what surrounds you. It is a choice that you choose Jesus, and joy is there. Number two, remember your first love. Remember your first love. Remember in the Revelation, Jesus revealed to the church of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, that they had done so many great things. Jesus gives this list of things that they had done, so wonderful. If you were to just stop and not read any more after you just read the great things, you would think that this church had it going on. They were perfect. I know your labors, your works, your love. I know all that. I know what you've done. I know how you stood against false teaching. Jesus gives this list at this point one, point two, point three, point four, point five of all these things that the church of Ephesus did. But then he said this, but I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Do you know that you can get so busy doing the things for God and forget the God in which you do it for? Oh, it's easy. You get so busy being doing what you do for God and what you know you ought to do for the Lord and lose your focus on the Lord himself and leave the love that should be residing in your heart for Jesus. It's easy to happen. You got to come back to where that first love is. Jesus said, remember where you left it. That's what he said to the church of Ephesus. Remember where you left your first love and go back and do your first works over again. Remember that. You know, some of the greatest things we have in our that Jesus gave to us is a memory. That you can remember the times where Jesus was really good. Amen? How many have ever been through times where you had to think back and go, you know, it was a whole lot better yesterday than it is today? Oh, come on now. You're all looking. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're still with me, right? You're not. You didn't leave me and go into La La Land and start thinking about a turkey, did you? I mean, you're with me still, right? This happens in our hearts. We need to remember how good it was. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world and what we got to do to live and survive that we forget the very one who wants to bless us and move in our life, and we lose that joy. And we got to remember where we once lost it and go back and do the same works over again. Amen. Number three, we are not fulfilled when we don't fulfill the purpose of Christ in our life. Joy is zapped from our life when we're not fulfilling the very purpose of Christ in our life. I've seen Christians that need joy, and God says, this is what I need you to do, this is what I want you to do, this is who you are in me, and instead of doing what they should do in the Lord, they don't fulfill that purpose, and guess what happens? That joy is gone. All of a sudden, going to church becomes a routine. It becomes something you just do because you don't want people to know that you're really not desiring to be there, so you come anyway. Come on now, I'm being real. Amen? I'm preaching to real people who deal with the real stuff, and this is real. I have sat on the church pew and said, I am here in body, but my mind is somewhere else. And that happened so fast because, and you know what happened, when it happened in my life, it was when my purpose overrided God's purpose. It was when my desires overrided God's desires for my life. Where I no longer put his purpose number one at the forefront, and all of a sudden the joy was zapped away. And so you gotta come to this realization in your life that if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, you're gonna have to do what the Lord wants you to do. And then you won't look like you've been sucking on lemons all week long. And then when the song service is praising the Lord, it don't matter what's going on around you. You're just going to praise the Lord. You're going to give him glory and praise because he's the source of your strength. Amen? We got to start filling our life with nothing but Christ. The joy of the Lord is in Christ. It's in Christ. And so we got to fill our life with nothing but Christ. There is not enough room for the world and Jesus. I said, there is not enough room for the world and Jesus. Right? You can't love God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You have to, Jesus said, you'll love one, hate the other. These are the words of Christ himself. And so, church, you and I have to realize that for the joy to be in our life, we can't try to serve Jesus on Sunday and on Monday not be faithful to him. And then expect his joy to flood our heart on Sunday. Right? Well, I have joy. You just can't see it. One time my daughter was looking at me, and she was looking at me with a scowl. And I go, what's wrong with you? She goes, nothing, I'm happy. I said, well, tell your face that you're happy, amen? Because it don't look very happy right now. So she goes, gave me a little smirk, you know. And sometimes the joy really isn't there, but we're trying to tell ourselves it is. No, I have joy. when in actuality, it might have slipped away or leaked out of our vessel through circumstances, through difficulties, because we got our eyes on something else besides Jesus. Or listen, you know what sometimes we do? We start listening to negative people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Negative people will suck the life right out of you. You start talking about something good and they'll turn it to negative. You start talking about something praiseworthy and they turn it to negative. And they can't find a positive in anything. You know, that's unbiblical, you know. It's unbiblical to look at the negative. Let me give you a verse, Philippians 4:8, first verse I ever memorized in the New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Doesn't that get as plain as it gets? Amen? So when the negative thought, the negative thinkers come and they start casting negative visions in your life and start speaking negative things, you need to say, you know what? I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about things that are lovely. I'm going to think of things that are admirable, honorable, that are right and pure and true. I'm going to think of things that are worthy of praise. That is the mindset. But you know, that if we start getting surrounded by people who are constantly negative, we won't think like this. We won't think like this. We'll start thinking about things that we don't like when we're supposed to think about things that are honorable and admirable. I don't have time to dissect the verse, but you get the point. Joy can be sucked out of your life based on who you hang with. Amen? You ever heard the old saying, birds of a feather flock together? Right? That just kind of happens. And so you gotta look at your surroundings, because who you're hanging with might be the very thing that's sucking down the joy in your life. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Amen? Fill your life with praise. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to yourself. I could preach right there all day long. How many sometimes you talk to yourself? Some of you are probably talking to yourself right now, right? When you answer yourself and then you tell yourself you're wrong, that's when you got problems, right? No, you're wrong. Amen. But Paul said, speak these things to yourself. Say these things to yourself. I was on a ladder all week this week, going up and down by these lights right here, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. My new Fitbit watch told me I did like 8 flights of stairs. I mean, up and down, up and down, up and down. And every time I was singing a song, a new song, an old hymn, I was just singing, having a good time. And one song would come to my mind, I'd sing that for a minute. And then another song would come to mind, I'd sing that for a minute. And I just kept singing. And you want to know something? That whole time, there was no devil who could tell me my body hurt. There was nothing that could tell me that I couldn't get this accomplished. Because those songs, and I was speaking to myself, and I was praising the Lord while I was doing something. Speak to yourself. When you're doing the dishes, start speaking to yourself. Tell yourself to sing the songs of the Lord. Tell yourself to let your heart make a melody unto God and give praise to the Lord. Make yourself do it. Well, I don't feel like it. When is the last time you felt like going to work? But you went anyway, right? Do it anyway. It's not about what you feel. It's about praising God. Speak to yourself. Say it in your own heart and life. And let that joy that comes with praising God just flow out of you. Flow out of you. It just does, doesn't it? When you really start praising the Lord, it just flows right out of you. We can get so caught up in the world that we lose our song. I remember the first time my wife... I got time, so give me just a moment. I remember the first time when I first married my wife, I didn't know she could sing. For 2 years of our marriage, I didn't know she could sing. Can you believe that? 2 years. Did not know. My wife was so shy, so backwards, that on our first date, I didn't think she liked me because she didn't talk to me. I finally figured out she's just shy and doesn't know how to, you know, say those things. So I remember coming in from work one day, and she was doing the dishes. And as my custom is to harass her, I came into the house, and I noticed that she didn't know I was there. So I did this. Come on, man, you know what I'm talking about. And I hid behind the wall. I sucked in my gut. And I hid there, and I waited because I knew that maybe she'd walk in the living room, and I would just go, wah! And she'd go, ah, you know. And that reaction is what I'm looking for, that fear reaction. That's what I really want. It just makes me laugh. And so I'm hiding there, but she's so focused on the dishes that she's not turning around, and she starts humming. And I'm sitting there with this mindset, I'm going to scare her to death. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And I notice her humming. I go, huh, she hums really beautiful. I wonder if she sings beautiful. And it dawns on me, I have never heard my wife sing. Huh. So I sit there for a moment, and she's humming a song that I know. And so instead of hiding in the living room, I snuck into the kitchen. And I got up probably about 2 foot from her where she didn't know I was there. And I stood there, and she was, then she started singing. I went, hallelujah. Amen. You steal my beating heart. Amen. Because she began to sing and praise the Lord. And I mean, my heart just, oh man. And she didn't know I was there. So I started singing with her. You know, the scare factor, it worked. Woo! She jumped like that. And she stood there, and she quit singing immediately. She didn't know I was there. And I said, what are you doing? Don't stop. Let's keep going. Let's keep singing. She goes, no, I'm good. Amen. I'm good. Anyway, needless to say, the first time I got my wife up in front of an audience to sing, the microphone went like this. Amen. She was so afraid of it. But she was making melody in her heart while she was doing dishes. Now it's not an abnormal thing to hear my wife walk through the house singing a song. It's not an abnormal thing to hear. It's just a common thing to happen. We need to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. If you want the joy back, start worshiping him who brings the joy back in your life. Here's my final thought. If you find yourself without joy, start sowing in tears. Start sowing in tears. Well, that sounds counterproductive, Pastor. Sow in tears and I get joy? Yeah, you do. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest things we can do as a Christian is that when we feel like we've lost something, we need to find it, we should weep over the fact that we lost it. Let me give you a verse that backs up what I'm saying. Psalms 126:5-6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, sometimes joy is work. Sometimes joy needs to be sown. You're not going to reap something you're not sowing, but you will reap what you sow. If you say, I want the joy of the Lord in my life, but you don't sing or think about the things of God, and on Monday your mind is far from the Lord, and you don't think about the Lord until it comes Saturday night, and you think, oh, I got to go to church again tomorrow. Right? Come on now. Until that moment in your mind and heart, but if you sow in tears, Lord, I need joy, I need your strength today on Monday, and you sow that same tears, God, I need you again today and more today, and you keep sowing that. You know what's going to happen? The joy of the Lord will just bring, you'll bring in sheaves that you never thought you could, because that joy will overflow your heart and your life. Amen? Give him praise. Psalms 35, this is the one. I had my things mixed up. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, I might be crying right now, but you don't know. It's not tears of sadness. It's tears of opportunity. It's tears of purpose. It's tears of, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to overcome. It's tears of, this is not over yet, devil. I'm still pursuing Jesus. Come on, somebody. It's not over right now. I've got more for me right now. I might be hurting, but weeping's going to endure for the night. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and a new joy is going to be in my life. What I love about God is God has a way of restoring joy supernaturally. You ever been in a mess and you shouldn't have had joy and you had it anyway? I've told you this story before, I'm going to tell you again. I was going to buy a truck, and I really thought that truck would make me happy. Right? Come on, man. Trucks make men happy. They don't even have to drive. You just got to look at them in the front yard. Makes them happy. So I was going to go buy a truck to make me happy because I felt like I wasn't happy in my beat-up Maverick car. And so I went to the dealership, and I had a thing, and I was going to sign papers for a new truck because it was going to make me happy. And I'm in the parking lot of the church. I got there so early that the only way to get in was the back gate, and that was so the trash man get the trash. So I got in the back gate and I pulled in, and I was the only one there at the church. I parked and I got out of my car and I was sitting on the back bumper waiting for people to show up to unlock the church so I can go in and do whatever, you know, pray or spend some time with God. And I remember Sister Yolanda, she didn't know anybody was there. And she was driving the ugliest hatchback I've ever seen in my life. You know, think of the ugliest, dirtiest Pinto you can think of, and it was worse than that. I mean, it was horrific. And she was driving that thing like it was a race car. She come, you know, you could hear her coming down the road. She was, she had that thing full blast. And when she turned the church, hit the entrance in. And she come through and she was driving like she was in a race. And I looked at her car. She had her windows down. And she was just singing praise to God. I mean, praise, you know. I don't even remember what she was singing, but she was belting it out. And I remember looking at her, and she was just as happy as a pig in slop in that beat-up, ugly old Pinto, driving it like it's a race car. And when she pulled in, she almost like she did a, you know, a fishtail to park it. I mean, that's the kind of driving she's doing. She pulls in, she parks. It's a good thing I wasn't in the way. She'd have run me over. And when she got out of the car, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I make you happy. Things don't make you happy. I make you happy. Oh, that was a great lesson for me. A great lesson. Possessions come and go. People come and go. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who brings joy to our lives. Church, if you're missing joy, get your eyes back on Jesus.